for the sermon this morning is Ephesians 5, verse 30. I'll read verses 25 through 30. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 30. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. He might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord nourishes and cherishes his church. He is the head of his church. He is the Savior of the body. He loved the church and he gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or any wrinkle or any such thing, but that the church should be holy, that the church should be without any blemish at all. Ephesians 5, verse 30, the Holy Spirit gives a reason why Christ nourishes and cherishes his church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The word members is the second word in the clause right after the conjunction for or because in the Hebrew or the Greek text. The Lord nourishes and cherishes his church because all who belong to him are members of his body, members of his flesh, bone of his bones. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper testifies to us this same truth, that we form one body with Christ. Everything that is Christ's, we may call our own. Christ is the heir of eternal life, and therefore we may have confidence and assurance that we have eternal life. Christ has entered into the kingdom of heaven, and therefore the kingdom of heaven is ours also. We cannot be condemned because God has paid for our sin in his Son, Jesus Christ. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 30, Paul speaks of true believers whom the Spirit of God has made alive by his rich grace. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 is not exaggeration. It is not some fable, some fanciful tale. It is God's truth for his people. Because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, there is a true union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. Sin has separated us from God, but Jesus reverses the effects of our sin. And he joins us to himself in a union more real, more true than any other in all the world. This union with Jesus Christ is intimate, precious, and complete. We are so near to Christ that we cannot be nearer, for we are one with him. We're so precious to our Savior that he loved us and he gave himself for us. It is a more intimate union than any other union among men. For Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, and to lay down one's life for his friends. When we were his enemies, Christ died for us in order to save us from our sins and make us one with himself, so that he is our life and our life is hidden with God in Christ. The union between Christ and his redeemed people could not be more complete than it is. It is a wonderful union. And the more you meditate upon our union with Jesus Christ, the more your heart is filled with rejoicing, and the more you stand in holy awe and reverence before such a marvel of God's love and grace to unworthy sinners. Our soul should exult in the doctrine that Christ and his people are one forever and ever. It should fill us with heavenly music. And as we feed upon this glorious truth, we sit in the heavenly places with our Savior Jesus Christ, and we look forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb, when we shall be with the Lord forever, and when we shall be perfectly conformed to his holy image in true knowledge and true righteousness and true holiness. But even now, in this life, we are one with him. Love joins us so closely with Christ, our Savior, that it becomes more to us than our own selves. Though we do not see him now, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The truth that is set before us in Ephesians 5, verse 30 is very practical. It is light for our daily path. The Holy Spirit tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. We must take care to love God and to love his people as Christ loves the Father and loves us. We must do good as Jesus did good. It is contrary to the teaching of Ephesians 5, verse 30, to continue living in our sin. For if we are one with our Savior Jesus Christ, then we must be filled with his Holy Spirit and we must live in righteousness as he did. In the Bible, the Lord uses several metaphors to teach us about this union that he gives us with his Son Jesus Christ. Union with Jesus Christ is such a high and blessed, such a glorious and wonderful truth that words are not adequate to describe it. The Lord uses image or figure after figure to describe this amazing union between Christ, our Savior and Head, and us, his people. This union between Jesus Christ and his church is described as the foundation cornerstone and all the stones that are built upon that cornerstone. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the words of the Spirit of God to us, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are built upon Christ, and we are built up into him, that is, into Christ. We rest upon him just as the stone that makes up the wall rests upon the foundation. And in time of our need, we press closer to Christ, the foundation. The heavier our hearts are, the more we lean upon him. We cling to Christ at all times, depending completely upon him. Jesus Christ is the foundation upon whom we rest. What joins us to Christ, our Savior, is stronger than we are. We might be broken, But the bond of love which holds us like a mighty cement to Christ, who is our foundation, can never be broken away. And by God's sovereign grace, we have become one with Christ experimentally and indissolubly. And as each year passes, we're bound still closer and closer to Him. We are one with Christ in God's eternal plan, in God's eternal design, God's eternal decree, and God's eternal purpose includes not only His Son, Jesus Christ, but also all of His people whom He has chosen unto everlasting life. He is building a holy temple of living stones to praise and to glorify Him for ages to come, world without end, for eternity. And every living stone in that wall that God is building, in that holy temple, in that church, is necessary in God's design and purpose. The weakest and the lowliest of the Lord's people are just as necessary as the strongest and the greatest. God the Father appointed Christ to be the Redeemer, and He marked out each one of His people unto salvation. He set His love on each one. He appointed each one to be built up together with Christ in that holy temple of God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are fellow citizens with the saints. You are members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." No matter how insignificant you may seem to be, if you are a living member of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His gifts of faith and repentance, by His work of regeneration in your heart, you are a brick, you are a stone in that great temple of God's almighty grace. It does not matter if you occupy a visible place. If you are a living stone in the holy temple of the Lord, you're joined to Jesus Christ as members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. No matter what your place is, each one is built upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ the Lord, into whom we grow every day, pressing closer and closer to Him in experience, in holding tighter and tighter to Him by faith. The Scripture also represents our union with Jesus Christ with the figure or the image of the vine and the branches. Our Savior Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." This is a figure of life lived out of Christ. A vine and its branches must be alive. You do not keep a dead vine with dead branches in your field or in your vineyard. No, there is a living union between the Lord Jesus Christ and every one of His people. Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." The union with Jesus Christ is even more than a union of life. It is a union of life that flows out of Christ. The branch is united with the vine so that it receives all of its nourishment, all of its life from that vine. The branch could not live unless the living juices flow from the vine into that branch. And the same is true of our spiritual life. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, pours His lifeblood into us. He feeds and He nourishes us with His Word, applied by His Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds and lives. He changes our hearts so that hearts that are stubborn, hearts that have no life, hearts that are dead like stone, become living, become tender, become beating hearts of flesh. We're so one with Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we continue to receive life from Him every moment. And the result is that we grow spiritually. As Christ pours His life into us, He makes us grow to the praise of the glory of His marvelous grace, and we bear fruit. That is the purpose of our union with Jesus Christ. We are one with Him in order that we may bring forth fruit unto His praise. Are you bringing forth fruit unto the praise of your Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning? Or are you satisfied with some kind of union with Jesus Christ in name only, that bears no fruit to the honor and praise and glory of the triune God? We should be distressed when we are barren and unfruitful. The heavenly vine dresser has a sharp knife. Jesus said in John 15, verse 2, "Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit." I pray that none of you are in Christ in that false way, but that everyone is joined to the Lord Jesus Christ in that true and living way that causes us to grow, that causes us to bear fruit to the praise of God. Yes, God will prune us, but He will never cut us out of His vineyard. He will never cut us out of the true vine, Jesus Christ Himself. In Ephesians 5, the Lord compares the union of husband and wife to the union of Christ with His church. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, we read, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church." Christ is united to His church because He set His love on us sinners, who are so unworthy of His love. Christ is united to us because He loves us. And Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 28, "He who loves his wife loves himself." Since the church is joined to Christ as His very own body, when Christ loves His church, He loves Himself. He cares for us as He cares for Himself, because we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. No person in his right mind will injure himself, will hurt himself. Verse 29 of Ephesians 5, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." Christ takes care of His own people because they are living members of Christ Himself. He keeps us as the apple of His eye. He wants every one of His people to abide in Him and to bear fruit, growing to be more like Jesus Christ, teaching the faith to our children, to our families, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors, to our friends, and bringing others to love and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to have life in Him, to grow spiritually through His life. This is our God-given calling, and it should be our goal each day. It should be the joy of our lives. God has appointed us as servants to rule in His house, as kings unto Him. And we should seek to be faithful in upholding His word, the word of life, in serving Him here on this earth, just as the angels of God do in His creation. The union between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ is even closer, it's even more intimate than the union between husband and wife. To realize more and more of that blessed union with our Savior every day ought to be the deepest longing and desire of our souls. In Ephesians 5, verse 30, the Lord sets forth the closeness of our union with Christ when He says that Christ nourishes and cherishes the church because members we are of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Christ is the bridegroom, the husband, the head. We are members of His body. We belong to Him. We rest in Him. We live out of Him. He is joined to us because He has set His own love upon us. He has died to redeem us from all of our sins. He has delivered us from just condemnation. He has delivered us from everlasting spiritual death. The union between Jesus Christ and His holy bride, the church, is so close that we are identified as one with Jesus. We form one body with our Savior. There is a perpetual and intimate union between every believer and Christ Himself, for we are members of His body. We're members of His flesh. We're members of His bones. And if we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones, we cannot be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are united to Him forever. We would die if we were separated from Him. The great head of the church cannot be divided from the members of His holy body. This metaphor that the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, uses here in Ephesians 5, verse 30, is full of meaning for us. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. If your body is healthy, the members of your body always do what the head wants without delay. There's no deliberation. There's no discussion about the matter. There's no rebellion against the head. Far from rebelling against all that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our head, has revealed to us in His holy word, we who are members of His body, we who are members of His flesh and of His bones, cannot bear that Christ, our Savior and our head, should be insulted. We cannot bear that His gospel of grace should be despised. We cannot bear that anything would be done against His holy glory. We mourn, therefore, when people rebel against Christ, our head. And we grieve when people attack Christ and openly reject what He wills. It breaks our hearts when people flagrantly promote what is an abomination to Christ, our head, calling it good and right. It pains us when people call what Christ, our head, says in His word wrong and evil. We're so one with our glorious head that the moment anyone strikes at Him, our hearts break and our hands go up immediately to defend Him. If you bear, or if you hear rather, Christ's gospel preached falsely, if you see those who profess Christ bringing shame and disgrace upon Jesus' holy and precious name, You would rather bear any pain or any reproach than that our Savior, who died for us, be blasphemed and dishonored. To be members of Jesus Christ is to be united not only with Christ, but also it means to be united with one another. So that when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. When one member is honored, all the members rejoice with that one. We are the body of Christ, and we are members individually. Christ is our head, and the head especially suffers with us, the members. Christ sympathizes with each one of his people in their trials and needs. And each one of God's people sympathize with one another. Prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9, concerning Jesus Christ and his people, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. Dear child of God, in all your sorrows, your heavenly head, Jesus Christ, feels your pain. The head needs the body. Christ without his people would be incomplete. A dying Christ redeeming no one. A living Christ with no one to give his life to and no one to live out of his life. Christ bearing the wrath of God upon our sin in his death on the cross at Calvary, and souls going to everlasting death and destruction in hell with no one saved by his precious blood. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hanging on the cross without one single person saved by his incarnation and his death. That is not possible. The church is the fullness of Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is a wonderful expression. The fullness of the head is the body. That means if you take the body away from the head, what is the head? What would the body be without the head? The body needs the head, and the head must have a body. Everything that belongs to the head also belongs to the body. And all that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ also belongs to you and me who trust in him with true faith. And Christ our Savior is rich. Can you therefore be poor? His Father is your Father. His heaven is your heaven. He freely gives all of his infinite wealth to you. He bestows all of his glorious bounty upon you. He bestows upon you the members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones, all that he has. It is yours. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and you are Christ. Christ is God's. Christ is very dear to his Father's heart. Three times the Father spoke from heaven when Jesus was on earth and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." As God the Father delights in his Son, Jesus Christ, so also he is well pleased with we who are joined to Christ by true faith. He is as pleased with us as he is with Christ. For he sees you in Christ. He sees Christ in you. God does not divide between you and Christ because you are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Certainly God will never separate that which he has united to his only begotten Son. Do not separate yourself from Christ in your thoughts by supposing that you are not just as dearly beloved, just as well pleasing to God the Father as Jesus Christ the Head is. We share in all the inheritance that Christ receives from his Father. Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 16 through verse 18. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, today, right now, this life here on earth, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How can you die while Jesus lives? How can the body die while the head lives? If we go through the waters, they cannot overflow us until they overflow our head, Jesus Christ. While a man's head is above water, he cannot be drowned. In the eternity of glory, Jesus Christ can never be conquered. And neither can you and I be conquered if we are one with him. We shall live and reign with our Savior Jesus Christ forever and ever. Jesus Christ, the immortal Son of God, never dies. He can never die. Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 19, because I live, you will live also. In John 6, verse 57, Jesus says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. We who have been joined to Jesus Christ by true faith cannot be destroyed. We shall live because Jesus Christ, our head, lives forever. And Paul writes in Romans 6, verses 8 and 9, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Christ, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Where Jesus Christ, our head, has gone, we, his members, shall also be. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus said that for our comfort. Take it home. We are members of his body. We're members of his flesh. We're members of his bones. This doctrine in Ephesians 5, verse 30, teaches us many practical lessons so that we, who are members of Christ, may bring greater joy and glory to our head than we have brought to him before. First of all, as Eve was formed out of the substance of her husband Adam and thus was a part of him, so if we are true members of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow into one body by the communication of his own flesh, his own blood, his own body, we shall be united to Christ more and more by true faith and repentance. We shall grow more and more to be his own body. The Lord gives us a pledge and a symbol of this union with Christ in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which is set before us again this morning. And in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Christ teaches us that we are members of Him, that we are bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. And in this supper, Christ offers Himself to us by faith to nourish us unto everlasting life. Christ offers Himself to us that we might feed upon Him. We live and are governed by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. We commune with Him. Secondly, to be a member of Christ's body is to be a member of all of Christ's covenant people. Sin against the Lord's table is the sin of division in the members of the body of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is present in power and by His Spirit in the midst of His people, in the midst of His holy church. Christ is present here in this place this morning. And the head of the church invites us, the members of His body, to gather around His table this morning. We're members of one another because we are members of Christ. And therefore we serve Christ when we serve one another. We refuse to serve Christ when we refuse to serve one another. That's what Jesus says to us in Matthew 25, verses 34 and following. When we do not serve one another, we refuse to serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. Third, to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes means that when we gather at the table of the Lord, we declare not only that Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, but also we declare that Christ lives and that His death has significance for all people at all times. Christ's life, Christ's death, Christ's atonement, His law and His word, and all that is His governs us at all times. In the Lord's Supper, we proclaim our unity with Jesus Christ and with one another in Christ. To discern the Lord's body is to be members of Him and of one another. And fourth, if we are indeed one with our Savior Jesus Christ, we should not doubt our own salvation. We should not doubt that Jesus Christ has indeed cleansed us from all our sins by His own precious blood. We honor Christ by believing His promises in the gospel. If we are one with Him, then we have comfort, we have joy, we have confidence, because we know for sure that we are united to Him by His gifts of faith and of repentance unto everlasting life. Do not doubt the promises of God. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Salvation is by faith. Damnation comes by doubt and unbelief. Doubt is the death of all comfort, the destruction of all force, the enemy of God and of man. If we are one with our Savior, Jesus Christ, we should be like Abraham, who said to the king of Sodom in Genesis 14, verse 23, what he had already vowed to God, I will take nothing from you from a thread to a sandal strap, and I would not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abram rich. If you're one with Jesus Christ, treat the world in that way. The world cannot bless you because God has already blessed you. The world cannot curse you because God Himself has blessed you. The world can laugh at you. The world can mock and scorn you. But if God has smiled upon you, if God's favor is upon you and toward you, if the world mocks you, if the world persecutes you, you're one with Christ. And He will continue to bless, to feed, to nourish, and to cherish you forever. those who mock you, those who scorn you, those who persecute you, scorn and mock and persecute and blaspheme your head, Jesus Christ. The body receives the same treatment as the head. They mocked Christ, surely they will mock you. They persecuted Christ, surely they will persecute you. Fifth, if we are one with Jesus Christ, we should remember that to dishonor ourselves is to dishonor our Lord. If I dishonor any part of my body, my head feels the shame of it. And since we are the members of Christ, we should be careful to live in godliness and in righteousness, and to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts, lest we should cause him pain. People judge Christ by his people, by his church. And if our lives do not glorify God and do not fit with the gospel of grace, people may blaspheme Christ because of us. There's no spot or blemish in Christ, but his name and his cause will suffer dishonor because of us. Let us not then injure or defile ourselves, lest we should bring reproach upon him whom we love with all of our heart. And sixth, if we are one with Jesus Christ, to think of Christ, our head, should be very natural to us. We should live and walk each day, yes, each moment of the day with our Lord. His love should be the brightest and the most important thing in our lives. His love should cheer us in all of our sorrows and afflictions. His love should strengthen us in all of our battles and trials. His love should calm our souls in all our distresses. We know that we are one with Jesus Christ, and the union that he has given us with him can never be broken. We know him also because we commune with him every day. And we go to bed at night rejoicing in his love for us and feeding upon Jesus Christ, who nourishes and cherishes us as his very own body, his very own flesh, his very own bones. And when we commune every day with our Savior, we cannot complain about our lives. We cannot be angry. We cannot be bitter. We cannot be mean and unkind and wicked toward others around us. What a sad thing it must be for a wife to live in her husband's house and not to speak to him for weeks or months. But how much worse is it for us who profess to be one with the Savior Jesus Christ, and yet not read his word or sing his praise or meditate upon him for days or weeks or months, or cry out to him in prayer? This is horrible. May God save us from such a thing. May our thoughts continually be of our great and glorious Savior. And may we always live with him, because indeed we are one with him. And since we are one with Jesus Christ, to serve him should also be natural. He created us to do his will. He created us to glorify his name. What are the use of your hands and your feet? What is the use of your mouth and your tongue unless they move at the bidding of our Savior and head, Jesus Christ? They are all hindrances to us, unless we are ready and willing to cheerfully obey our Savior and our King. If we hear the word of our Savior Jesus Christ, but we do not obey, what use are we to Jesus? He calls for helpers, but we do not do what he asks. That is wrong. As members of the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who've been redeemed by his blood, the one and great purpose and aim of our life should be to serve him. To serve him with all that is in us. May the Lord help us to do that. There's so many things that flow out of being one with Jesus Christ. We shall enjoy Christ for all eternity because we are one with Him. When we realize the abundance of blessings that come to us from being members of the body of Christ, members of His flesh and of His bones, our souls rejoice with unspeakable delight. Communion with Jesus Christ brings such joy into our souls. May you know the joy and the pleasure of being one with the Savior, Jesus Christ, being members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. If you do not know the sweet communion of being one with Jesus Christ, if you do not even desire to be one with Jesus Christ, if you have not understood what I've been saying this morning, if you don't care what I'm saying this morning, there is a joy that you have not known. There is a life that you have not found. You're missing the greatest and the most blessed things in life. And Isaiah the prophet says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, you will surely find Him. By His sovereign grace and mercy, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of His sheep, will bring you into a loving, lasting union with Himself. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. The poor woman who had bled for 12 years believed in Jesus Christ, and she only touched the hem of His garment. And immediately Jesus healed her. He made her well. Beloved, cry out to Christ. He's the only Savior of sinners. That He might have mercy on your soul. That He might heal you from all your sin. That He might deliver you from everlasting death and eternal destruction. Cast yourself upon Him. Trust in Him. Rest in Him. Lean on Him. Lay hold of Him with true and living faith, worked in your heart by the Spirit of God. And cry out to Him, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Make me whole. Join me to Your Son, Jesus Christ, that I may be a living member of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." Christ became the Son of Man in order to make us sons of God. Christ came down to earth in order that we might be brought up to live with Him in the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever. Jesus Christ took our flesh and blood upon Him in order that He might give us everlasting life. He took our weakness that He might make us strong in His strength. He submitted to our poverty in order to give us the abundance of His riches. He took the burden of our sin and our unrighteousness, which oppressed us, in order that He might clothe us in His perfect and spotless robe of righteousness and holiness. And the Lord's Supper that is set before us this morning attests to all of these things. They are truly given to us as if Christ were here in the flesh with us. When Jesus says to us at His table, "Take, eat, drink, all of you, from this. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for the remission of your sins." Jesus Christ is saying, "I am one with you. I lay down my own body. I shed my own blood for your salvation and your eternal redemption." In the Lord's Supper, Jesus represents. He sets before us his saving work in the elements of bread and wine, so that we may learn that just as bread and wine nourish and sustain and protect our physical life, so the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ are the only food and drink to invigorate, to keep alive, to feed and to nourish our souls. Come to Jesus this morning and feed upon him by faith as members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Amen.